Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This is Computer Talk with Tab, hosted by Eric Semmel of Tab Computer Systems. Interact with Eric and his guest by phone at 522-WTIC or 1-800-966-WTIC. Email them in the studio at gethelp@tabinc.com or get help anytime at computertalkwithtab.com. Now, here's Eric.
And we are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Bob.
And we're going to be here till 11 o'clock. We have four lines wide open, which is kind of rare for a 10 o'clock hour here on a Saturday morning, but it is Mother's Day weekend, and maybe you're preparing for your Mother's Day celebrations, and that's great. We wanted to kind of talk a little bit about what is coming out again with Google Duplex, and for those of you who didn't hear what I had played in the first hour, I want to play it again because it is a huge step. This is big. I can't stress it enough. What this technology is about is big. Now, Google's telling you they're trying to save you a bunch of time making appointments. I don't know that I agree with that. I think it's like, you know, it's way overkill for that.
See,
but
when they were in the infancy stage before they actually became a company, I think that they were playing with naming their company Skynet.
I hope not. But we want to play this again for you because this is really a big, huge, momentous step in AI for better or for worse. And you be the judge. We're going to play this for you. This is what's coming out with Google Duplex. Take a listen.
As I said earlier, our vision for our system is to help you get things done. It turns out a big part of getting things done is making a phone call. You may want to get an oil change schedule, maybe call a plumber in the middle of the week.
Yeah, I don't think
or even schedule
really
a haircut appointment.
A big deal for most people.
You know, we are working hard to help users through those moments. We want to connect users to businesses in a good way. Businesses actually rely a lot on this, but even in the US, 60% of small businesses don't have an online booking system set up. We think AI can help with this problem. So let's go back to this example. Let's say you want to ask Google to make you a haircut appointment on Tuesday between 10 and noon. What happens is the Google Assistant makes the call seamlessly in the background for you. So what you're going to hear is the Google Assistant actually calling a real salon to schedule the appointment for you. Let's listen.
Hello, how can I help you?
Hi, I'm calling to book a women's haircut for a client. I'm looking for something on May 3rd.
Sure, give me 1 second.
Mm-hmm.
Sure, what time are you looking for around?
At 12 p.m.
We do not have a 12 p.m. available. The closest we have to that is a 1:15.
Do you have anything between 10 a.m. and 12 p.m.?
Depending on what service she would like, what service is she looking for?
Just a woman's haircut for now.
Okay, we have a 10 o'clock.
10 a.m. is fine.
Okay, what's her first name?
The first name is Lisa.
Okay, perfect. So I will see Lisa at 10 o'clock on May 3rd.
Okay, great. Thanks.
Great. Have a great day. Bye.
So we're not going to play the other part for you because it's about a five-minute clip. But it's amazing where we have come. I mean, the computer's like, I mean, it sounds human. I mean, they could almost have added the vocal fry, you know? Do you have 12 p.m.? You know, you could have added that. they're really getting to the point where it's going to be indistinguishable. Yeah, you couldn't tell that was a machine. Now, could you abuse this technology? I mean, I love this technology for receiving robocalls and sicking this Google Duplex on the robocaller. Just have the robocaller talk to this AI all day long for all I care. That's great. But imagine the other side too. The robocallers don't even need to hire your call center anymore because this thing can make the calls for you. So then it could sick the call, the robocall could be Google Duplex calling you, and then you'd forward it to your Google Duplex and let Google talk to each other. Just talk to itself. Right? And then robocalls still go away by this technology. If you can just forward it to Google Duplex, let the robocalls end. But you wouldn't need a call center anymore as far as making calls. You don't need – imagine – I mean, Tab has never done a cold call, a sales call. But imagine sales calls, right? If you do sales calls or cold calling people, which, again, Tab has never done in our 35-year history. All of our clients come from referral pretty much in our advertising. But plenty of companies do. They do cold calls and say, hey, do you need this? Do you need insurance? Do you need computer support? Do you need this? Do you need that? Imagine Google Duplex making the call. You don't even need to do a sales call anymore because you wouldn't even need to hire salespeople anymore because this system can do it for you to book the appointment possibly. It could be coming. Go ahead.
I can see us setting up an extension for the Google Duplex. So when the call comes in, you just transfer it to that line.
have Google Duplex Google it.
And let me transfer you to that department.
Exactly. It's crazy. So what is your feeling on this AI? Are you afraid? Are you excited? Is it great? Is it scary? I don't know. Feel free to get online, 1-800-966-WTIC-522-WTIC. We have three lines open. Let's go to your calls here. We got Clifton in Windsor. Hey, Clifton, what's up?
Hi.
Hey, what's up?
Strange thing happened. I was wondering if anybody has reported anything like this
before. Are you on speakerphone?
Yeah.
Can you get on just a regular so I can hear you better?
Okay, is that better?
Much better.
All right. Strange thing happened three times. First, it was I didn't think anything about it, but then it happened second.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I was at AAA getting my license renewed.
Yeah.
And on the way out, they had a company that sells travel clothing.
Okay.
It had all sorts of hidden pockets in it, you know, really cool-looking stuff.
Yeah.
So I came home and surfed out to the site and looking at their stuff,
mm-hmm.
and about 3 days later, I didn't enter anything about myself
mm-hmm.
on the site, just looking up and down,
yep.
and about 3 days later, I got a postcard with, to the resident
mm-hmm.
At my home, resident with some percent discount
on the stuff you looked at?
And the stuff I looked at.
Yeah, creepy, huh?
And then later, something happened with my son, I don't remember what, but then... I was looking at lawn services,
mm-hmm.
and again, just cruising the mall, looking to see what's out there.
Mm-hmm.
And again, 3 days later, this was a very obscure lawn service that I had not heard of before.
All right.
And then 3 days later, or so, I get
a postcard from them.
From them.
Wow.
Resident.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
because it would be even extra. It'd be extra creepy, Clifton, that if they had your first name on there. They don't want to completely
right.
creep you out. They just want to say resident. Let's
right,
not scare them away.
Right.
All right.
As I said, there was a third one. Oh, my son was looking at some sort of snack package company that sells snacks.
Yeah.
Over online.
Mm-hmm.
Again, just looking at it, didn't put in any information, and
yeah.
he gets a coupon card. Some days later.
Amazing. It's not a scam. It's the technology.
Well, how did they get my address? Well, I'm thinking Comcast sold it to them.
Yeah.
You got it.
So basically it's all connected. Comcast sold information about your IP address. These companies are purchasing this information from your browser. You know, Google is selling the information. That's how they make the money. It's basically almost impossible to not be marketed to in this way anymore. It is kind of an interesting – there's two sides to this story, the creepy side, which kind of course, you're experiencing. But also, if you really wanted the product, it's almost saying, look, you know, Cliff looked at this, and I like – and he might really like this product. I'm going to try to touch him again. And if you were interested, wouldn't you rather get a postcard from something you're interested in rather than something you're not interested in?
Well, yeah, but sometimes I just cruise around because I'm interested.
Yeah, yeah, you know.
Something clicks my interest.
Yeah, they're going to still chew up the trees here to send you that postcard. But, yeah, I hear you, and the technology is out there. That's what Mark Zuckerberg is getting in trouble for, right? Because he, you know, wherever you're going on Facebook, same idea, things that you like that's being sold. It's just the, where we live now. I don't know there's ways to stop it.
Turn off the cookies in your browser.
There's a way. That's something
well,
you can do.
I didn't have a problem with them hammering me with the same ad. You know, you go looking for shoes.
Right.
Every place you go after, there's the shoes.
I know.
I don't mind that, but selling my location, my home address, that bothers me.
Okay. I don't disagree, although I've got a story to bring up for you next that you're not going to like. That you're not going to like either.
Uh-oh.
Your smartphone. Bob showed this to me, and there's a software company out there called Securus Technology, and it offers a service that monitors calls to prison inmates. And they also are taking this technology and using it to be able to track us the same way the marketer's tracking you on your cell phone. So if you use location technology, where you turn on the find location, of course, for navigation, you need this. For marketers, you know, if you drive by a Home Depot, your phone could pop over and say, hey, pull in here, or drive by a Dunkin' Donuts. Hey, you thirsty? Right? So the marketers are using this, but now the cops are too. Now, there's not a warrant going on here. They can track you with this Securus technology. So Securus Technologies is acting like a marketer, but it's selling your information to the police as far as tracking you. That's, you want to talk about creepy. Again, nothing wrong if you haven't done anything wrong, Cliff, right?
Mm-hmm.
But we'll put this link up here for you. But they're using the same technology the marketers are using to sell you a donut at Dunkin' Donuts to let the police know exactly where you are
or where you've been. Your history as well.
Yeah. So this technology was used to actually track police and judges in one case too in this article, which will also creep you out. But I'll put this up here for you. But you think the postcards are creepy? Turn the phone off. But even with the phone off, sometimes you actually have to take the battery out.
Yeah, and you can't do that on most of the phones.
Yeah, isn't that funny how they did that?
Ah,
I always thought there, you know, Apple was just evil making you buy a new phone, but they also could be in cahoots with some people as far as, you know, don't let the batteries come out of these things. They must always be in.
Yeah, and let's disable the phone after it gets down to 40%.
Oh, yeah, there's that. But, I mean, they don't let you take the battery out. I wonder why, huh? So we'll put this news article out here for you. But there's no scam here. This is just how this technology is working, and you're just a willing participant.
Unwilling.
Unwilling. Well, turn off the computer, man.
Yeah, isn't that you can't do that anymore, can you? Everything's is at your fingertips. You really kind of need it.
Yeah, it is. It is a very interesting problem.
Well, instead of using the computer, you can always go down to the mall.
What's a mall?
Well, they haven't gotten rid of them yet.
No.
Although they are struggling.
Yeah. So
Minority Report right in front of us.
Exactly.
Okay.
All right, Cliff. Hope that helps you, but I think that's just the world we live in, man.
Okay. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, sir.
Okay. Bye.
All right. Bye. Bye. Yeah, we'll put that link here that Bob talked about. So there's a senator that wants to find more about this. Basically, the technology is that the police can track any phone in seconds. With this technology, the same technology they're using to market you. So again, when you're in a Home Depot, even within the Home Depot, they can say, hey, are you walking past the hoses here? You want to buy a hose? Same thing, that the cops can know where you are exactly using this technology. Just buying it from the marketing folks. From what I can glean out of this article, I didn't read the whole thing that quickly, but it was in the New York Times. And we'll put a link up here for you to check it out. We're going to be here till 11 o'clock. Feel free to get online. Four lines wide open. Clearly, you guys don't have any opinions on Google AI, which I'm shocked about. Considering what that phone call sounded like. I mean, we usually are used to these types of sounds. Matt, do you have that sound of what we are used to computers sounding like?
Shall we play a game?
See, that's scary, right? We wouldn't want to talk to that computer. But this other Google Duplex, that girl sounds fine. She sounds like a normal, she sounds like my niece. We'll be right back. And we are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Bob.
And we're going to be here till 11 o'clock, taking your computer calls, comments, questions, and concerns. Feel free to get online. We have three lines open for you on this gloomy Saturday morning. And you've heard of Google Duplex coming out, the new artificial intelligence that really you can't discern them as being a robot talking to you, and all the potential ways we'll be able to use the assistant to make our appointments, because making appointments in my life is just so impossible. I need a multi-billion dollar Googleplex to call to make my haircut appointment. And with the amount of hair I have, even that's not even that important anymore. But let's go on to Jeff in Farmington. Hey, Jeff, what's up?
Hey, good morning. And it is kind of miserable out here.
Isn't it? It's ridiculous.
I'm a Norton user.
All right.
And I know you guys don't like it, but I'm paying for it. Anyhow, I get an email from them saying, hey, you've got this great new service, this identity protection.
Ah.
And if you give us all of your information, your bank account, your Social Security.
Doesn't that feel great?
But the thing, and I'm finally, you know, I don't think I want to have that all in one place because I'll bet you even Norton gets hacked. What do you guys think of that?
Your mind goes exactly where mine does. Why would I want to give Norton all that information just for them to lose it?
Right.
Right? The whole problem is really with the credit agencies and the information they have and the ability. You really should be able to just have your credit locked by default. You should have a two-factor that the credit agency says, hey, I see you're trying to open a Home Depot card. Is this you? And then it texts you that, you know, that code. And if you text the code back, yes, go ahead and open. I'm here trying to open a credit card. But no, they don't want to do that. They want to charge you to hold your credit and lock your credit down. But what Norton's trying to do here, I wouldn't want to give them all your information.
Yeah, I've decided not to do it. It just freaks me out giving somebody all that stuff.
Yeah, it makes me uncomfortable as well. I wouldn't do it. Just to protect them from the credit agencies who already were hacked themselves. Your information, have you checked with Equifax? Could already be out there, Jeff.
Yeah. Okay.
So,
all right. I appreciate it. You've confirmed my thoughts.
All right, Jeff.
All right, thanks.
Bye-bye. And as far as Norton, I mean, it works differently than some of the antivirus tools we recommend, so that's all. I mean, we don't dislike Norton. I mean, it was around. It was a good thing, but we've moved on to something bigger and better.
Actually, something smaller and better.
Smaller and better and smarter. Let's go on to Greg in Burlington. Hey, Greg.
Hi. Thanks for taking the call.
Yeah.
What's happening is my laptop will, after about 10 minutes, sometimes it's 10 minutes, sometimes it's a half hour, sometimes it's 5 minutes, it'll go blue screen and say, Microsoft has encountered a problem, needs to restart.
Yeah, blue screen
and
of death.
The blue screen of death. And it gives me messages such as memory management is causing this problem, or most of the time I get it says bad pool, P-O-O-L.
Yep.
Caller, not spool, but pool.
All right, do you have a quick answer for him? Hang on, Greg. We can give you a quick answer, maybe?
Yes. What was the brand on this again?
It's a Dell.
Reboot your computer, and what you want to do is hit, I don't remember if it's F2 or delete or F10 or something like that, and go into diagnostic modes. And I think if you run a diagnostic on that through the Dell utilities, it's before it gets into the operating system,
right,
you'll find that you actually have bad memory.
You got that?
Physical memory.
Okay. You think one of your memory sticks is bad?
Okay. I tried taking one out at a time.
Oh, good.
And okay, you know, and trying to with half the memory in there, basically.
Yep.
And, you know, it didn't seem to make a difference.
Oh, but then you got something more wrong with it then.
Do the diagnostic. Okay. It'll go through all your hardware.
Yeah, run the diagnostic, Greg. Okay, we're coming against a hard break. Does that work?
Okay, we'll try that.
Give it
okay.
a shot.
Thanks.
Call us back.
You got it. We'll be right back. We are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. We're going to be here until 11 o'clock. Thank you guys for waking up and getting on the lines. All of a sudden, you're back with me. I've got one line open for you if you want to get online, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. Let's get right to your calls. You're nice enough to call us in. Let's go to Walter in Weathersfield next. Hey, Walter.
Hey, good morning. Great
morning.
Show.
Thanks.
Enjoy listening.
Great.
I just wanted to comment on the Google Duplex.
Yeah, what do you think?
I think it's pretty amazing technology.
Yeah.
Now, I think that's a little overkill, again, to just use it for appointments. I agree with you. Using it on the receiving call side would be good. Mm-hmm. I mean, I wouldn't mind having something like that to answer all my calls. And, you know, if they're robocalls, said, just keep them going.
That'd
and if
be
it
so
was
magical.
Something I was really interested in or wanted to talk to,
right,
send the call through.
Yeah.
I have no idea how you would even begin to program that, but
right, it's coming.
Nevertheless, I think it's coming, and I think that AI gets just better and better.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how we guard against the misuse of it, because
right,
it seems like that's as big a potential as it being used for good.
Right.
But it's coming. And
are you afraid? Are you? What do you think?
No, I think it's great. I'm looking forward to
it.
I'm really looking forward to autonomous cars.
Yeah.
Because I have a vision handicap and can't drive a car.
Yeah.
So I just can't wait for them to be on the market. I'm going to be first in line to buy one.
I think that's true. That's great. And the other thing, too, I on Google Duplex, there's also other maybe handicaps that could be helped with having an assistant make all your calls for you. You could have even a speech impediment or other issues where you can't communicate as clearly. And if you could use Google Duplex to communicate for you, I can't think of his name now. He just recently passed.
Stephen Hawking.
Yeah. I mean, imagine having a Google Assistant that could talk that way.
Yeah.
What do you think, Bob?
Yeah. And then there's with hearing impediments and, you know.
I think there's just so many uses for it.
Yeah. We'll see.
It's great to see it coming. And it's, you know, the Google Duplex.
The Googleplex.
Is amazing that it could actually do that.
Yep.
But that's great.
All right, well,
keep up the good work. I think you guys are too hard on Apple, but other than that, I love the show.
You should hear what I get with the Microsoft guys. I was taking pictures with my son who was going to the prom, and one of the guys works at Microsoft. He comes up to me and goes, "Eric, man, why are you hammering on Microsoft all the time?" I'm just hammering on technology. I'm just a guy like you who deals with technology, and I just point out my frustrations. You know, I don't have any allegiances anywhere.
Yeah.
You know, Apple's got their great things, Microsoft's got theirs, but I think it's my job as just I consider myself the average guy. I might be a little more technical than most people, but I have to point out the ridiculousness of all these things. I mean, do you think I'm really hard about Apple saying, "Hey guys, I'm going to slow your phone down rather than tell you just need a new battery"? Do you think that's hard of me to tell you that's a bad thing that Apple did to you?
Well, it should probably tell you that it's doing it, but if their motivation is to drive you to upgrade, then I agree that's bad. If it's to keep your phone at least working so it'll last a little bit longer, I think that's a good thing, but it should at least alert you that it's doing it.
So I take the cynical side, and if you can take the benefit of the doubt side, and we'll meet in the middle and have a beer.
And I think all these companies, I think sometimes they're just changing things just so they can say they release something new.
Right. Oh, yeah.
I look at all the changes to Office and things like that. Has it really changed much?
No, you're still doing a Word document. You just want to do a Word document. No, I know.
It's just harder to find things. You have to relearn how to use the tool every upgrade. Yeah.
Microsoft loves to rearrange the furniture.
Yep, planned obsolescence.
Boy, do they ever.
Thanks, Walter.
Thanks a lot for taking my call, and again, I really enjoy the show.
Our pleasure.
Take care.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye.
All right, let's move on to Dell in East Longmeadow. Hey, Dell.
Hi.
What's up?
Okay, I have been merrily running Microsoft Money 2004.
Wow.
On my Windows 10.
Okay.
Everything was fine until yesterday. It started to do kind of strange things, and all of a sudden it says, not responding. I have done everything that I can possibly think of. I cannot close the program. I cannot install the program. All I have is grayed out money with a little blue circle going round and round.
Oh, boy.
How do I get rid of it?
Well, how do you get rid of money?
How can I close it? I've tried uninstall, I've tried repair, I've tried change. And every one of these things said you have to close the program. And I absolutely cannot find a way to close the program.
You got
to
go into Task Manager.
Task Manager?
Yes.
Okay.
Down on the task bar, down at the lower part, that little bar that's, you know, it may or may not have a little bunch of icons. Mine does because I like it better. But if you right-click on that, you'll find the third option up. It's called Task Manager.
Okay, I've got Task Manager.
All right.
You open the Task Manager.
Yeah.
And then there'll be, like, programs that are running.
Yeah.
Okay.
I've got I see Microsoft Money.
Yeah. You just click on that, and down in the lower right-hand corner, there'll be an End Task.
End Task, yeah.
There you
click
go.
Click on that, and it'll close the program.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
If you knew how many hours I have spent with this.
Oh, yes.
Just give us a call. Yeah. We're happy to help.
I'm glad you're all set there, Del. We've never had a reaction like that after we solved somebody's problem, but I'm glad you enjoyed it.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Have a good day.
All right, you too.
Yeah, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. That's the kind of, you know, reaction we love as geeks, because most people are calling up all cranky about their computers not working, and when you get a nice reaction like that, she's lost all sorts of hours fighting with a program that wouldn't quit. Let's move on to, we got three lines open. Feel free to get online, guys. We're here till 11 o'clock. If you have a comment on Google Duplex or you have any questions, feel free to get online. Let's go to Bob in Middlefield next. Hey, Bob.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Great show every week.
Thanks.
I have a question. I want to take OneDrive off my, it just keeps turning on and on itself. I shut it off, it turns back on, it starts uploading stuff to OneDrive.
I know.
I don't want, first off, should I take everything off OneDrive and put it?
Well, it depends on how much you trust.
Somewhere on my hard drive or external hard drive.
Yeah, it depends on how much you trust Microsoft, right? Because they really want to stick their stuff out there for you. Yeah, you don't trust them either. I hear you. How do we get you off of that?
How do I shut off OneDrive? Because it just keeps seeming to. Well, I got a new computer a couple weeks ago, and OneDrive just started. It seems to be slowly but surely grabbing documents, et cetera, either from my hard drive on my new computer,
yeah,
or mostly from my external hard drive.
Well, there's another aspect of this too, Bob, as we find a good article for you as far as how to turn off OneDrive. In our client base, we have a lot of manufacturers, and a lot of them are working in aerospace and have all sorts of requirements as far as security of certain types of data. And in many instances, we have to block access to the cloud, right? Because you don't want your schematic for your next military jet to be uploaded to the OneDrive uploaded to Dropbox or uploaded to Google, because who knows where it's going to end up. And so we are constantly blocking these cloud repositories because, A, you can't trust them, and B, you can't control where they're going. So in your case, you just want to do it for your own stuff. And Bob, did you find any good answers for him?
Well, my computer right now is running a little slow.
Oh, my goodness.
But
well, that's okay. You can post it on your website, and right, when you find it, well, then I can go back and look at it.
We had to do
the
that.
The answer that I have here is that if you go into Control Panel and choose Programs and Features, you can uninstall Microsoft OneDrive.
I do see that now, too. Yeah.
Control Panel, uninstall.
Yeah,
under Programs and Features. And then just
all Programs and Features OneDrive. Okay.
Now, the other thing here that you have to be aware of is the boys at Microsoft, when they send down a new update, guess what they're going to slam down on you probably?
Yeah, they'll probably reinstall it on you half a dozen times.
Yeah. If I had to bet, they're going to do that to you. So you're going to have to keep an eye on it. It may come back.
Okay. Then one other quick question.
Yeah.
You had mentioned this came with Norton, and I'm getting I just, like I said, just got the computer, so I guess it was a 90-day or whatever, 60-day
free trial.
Norton free.
Yeah.
And now they want their $39 or $49. I forget exactly what it is.
Right. So you can choose. You can choose to.
What would you recommend, really? What do you use? What do you like?
So for business, we recommend Webroot. That's what we use. But for personal use, you could use Defender. Which is part of Windows 10. It's part of Microsoft. Yeah. It's
so
free.
While you're in Programs and Features, you can uninstall that.
You can uninstall Norton, and Defender will kick in.
But then make sure when you're in Control Panel that you search for Windows Defender and turn it back on.
Yeah. It should. Okay. It might even ask you to get back on because there's no more antivirus on your machine.
Right.
And then also implement OpenDNS.
Okay.
And those two things are running in my home, and I have three boys that are all teenagers or older. And
what do you mean by implement OpenDNS? That's a program to download?
No, it's not. That's why I say implement. You configure. You have to configure OpenDNS. There's really no program. You can download an IP updater, but you configure OpenDNS so that you're more securely on the internet, more safely surfing the internet.
Okay.
You're going to choose a different highway than the one given to you by your internet.
Where do I find OpenDNS?
Oh, we'll put it at computertalkwithtab.com. We'll put a link there for you.
Well, that'd be good.
All right, Bob.
All right, good, great. Keep up the good work.
We'll try.
I work as a part-time as an HP rep selling printers, so I hope you like their printers.
Yeah.
They're okay. Yeah. Thank you very much.
Our pleasure, Bob.
All right.
Thanks. Yeah, we'll be here on 1080 as long as they'll have us. You know, as long as we're happy to do it. It's a public service that we do. We're happy to come in and help you if we can. We're going to take a quick break because I'm sure Matt's chomping at the bit to take a break here. We'll be right back. And we are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. And Dr. Alessi is in the green room and getting ready for Healthy Rounds. He'll give you a second opinion on your health advice, so stick around for that. And we're here till 11 o'clock. We have a couple lines open if you want to get online. And we'll do our best to answer your computer questions, comments, and concerns. 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. Mark in Simsbury is up next. What's up, Mark?
Good morning. Can you hear me on my terrible cell phone connection?
You sound pretty good.
Oh, good. Before I lose you, because I'm moving the cell phone to try to get a better couple of bars.
All right.
I have two questions in case I lose you. One, and I'll have the notebook open. I'll write down what you say. I want Cortana the hell off of my Windows machine. And no matter what I do with Task Manager, it keeps coming back.
Yes.
And failing that, you've heard the old adage that Windows is spyware with an operating system attached.
Oh, of course.
I'm gonna get rid of it. I just need a little more confidence in Linux. So if you could tell me about, there's Linux Lite. There's about a dozen different brands of it. I want the one that would be most reliable. And let me listen, okay?
Sounds good. Yep.
I lose you.
You got it, sir. We'll give you some answers on that, Mark. Thanks. So yes, you can remove Cortana. AI is getting get the AI off my computer, but it's tricky. And I would again contend that Microsoft will try to stick it back on there every time they do some sort of update, because again, Microsoft is the same company that forced the update from your Windows 7 to Windows 10 on many people without them asking to do that. It wouldn't be a big step to expect Microsoft to do the same thing with Cortana or anything else you have on your system that they want you to have and say you must have. You know, of course, it's inexplicably, you cannot extract it from the operating system, just like Internet Explorer was when they were being sued as monopoly. Remember that, Bob? You can't get Internet Explorer out of there. It's part of the operating system, you know. Yeah, right. But we do have information as to how you can remove Cortana. It is difficult. This is a PC World article that kind of goes through it a bit, and we'll put a link up here for you as to how to disable it and remove it. As far as Linux or Linux or however you say it or play it, we don't see a lot of Linux in our environment. We do have some geeks at Tab that do run that operating system. It's fairly light, you know, very simple to use. I don't have an opinion on which one's better than another one. What about you, Bob?
I think with Linux, it's the flavor of the month because they're always coming up with new versions and new distributions, and it's crazy. I mean, the base kernel is pretty much the same. I mean, it gets improved.
Yeah.
But they're all coming up with different features and what have you. Everybody's trying to get to the top of the line. But
his point is well taken in that if you go to that open source mentality, you might feel less beholden to the operating system you're stuck with. However, the apps and things you throw on it are going to be back into collecting the data on you. So you almost have to go back to pen and paper like Jimmy Carter did to avoid any kind of tracking. But if you want to email us during the week, I can give some opinions on some of our other technicians as far as the Linux that they prefer to use and what's the easiest to use. Some of your software may not work with it, though. You'll have to, you know, go over to Linux supported software. Linux does have open source Office suite, from my understanding, that you can run too. So you're going to have to just kind of change the whole ecosphere that you're operating in. But I can't tell you, you know, is it a Ubuntu or whichever one you want to go over to as the quote unquote best one. I don't use it, so I don't have enough information to give you a fair answer.
A lot of it depends on what hardware you're using as well.
Do you think so? There's issues with that too.
Yeah.
But we can put a link up there for the Ubuntu. That's a big one. There's another one called Mint. I've never heard of it. That seems to be pretty popular that you can take a look at. We'll put some links there. So again, these are alternatives. Now, again, this is a person out there who's sick and tired of Microsoft. I'll contend that the cloud is going to cause this. Folks are going to eventually say, look, I'm done. I'm done paying Microsoft a monthly this for that. I'm done paying Apple monthly this for that. I'm going to get to the open source. And the open source is going to give you all the technology without a cost. And because it's run by the community. And eventually, I think you're going to find we're going to go back to, instead of having 80% ownership by Microsoft and you've got 80% of the devices out there are Android when it comes to mobile, and then you've got Apple's little 10%, although it's billions of dollars. They've got their chunk. Eventually, people are going to get sick and tired of paying all these rentals for all this software, and we're all going to be jumping over to the open source stuff eventually, I think, but it could be 10 to 20 years out.
There's so many Linux distributions, it's not even funny.
Yeah, it's. But Ubuntu is one of the more popular ones that I've heard of, but I've never played with it much. So I wouldn't have any way to recommend it for you. So I want to thank you guys for joining us on this Saturday morning. I hope I didn't scare you with Google Duplex, but it is something you should... I mean, that is impressive. That was an impressive demo of a completely useless application. I mean, you're not going to go ahead and use that monster to make a phone call to schedule a haircut, but I could see it used for all sorts of other things. So thank you again for joining us on this Saturday morning. Thank you, Mike, for posting everything live. Thank you, Matt, for producing. Stick around. Dr. Alessi is up next. He'll give you a second opinion on your health advice. Everything we've talked about will be posted, tweeted, and Facebooked, so you guys don't have to write it down while you're driving. Go out to computertalkwithtab.com, the old-fashioned website, or like us on Tab Computer Systems on Facebook. If you like us and Mark Zuckerberg deems the news worthy, it might get to your newsfeed. And right below Donald Trump there, we're at Tab Computer Sys on Twitter. You can follow us there too.
See you next week.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.